Welcome to QualityCast North, a podcast dedicated to showcasing healthcare quality improvement across northern British Columbia. Casting today from the traditional territories of the Kleklaytane and Tsintiaan First Nations are your hosts.
I'm Cher Chewy.
And I'm Lee Cameron.
You're listening to QualityCast North. Welcome back, listeners. In the world of work, mention of the word networking is enough to make some people break out into a cold sweat. The idea of making small talk at conferences and meetings to expand one's network is something that, although we feel is important, many of us shy away from when the time comes. The world of healthcare quality improvement is no different, but today's returning guest is someone who not only makes networking look easy, but he's turned it into something of an art form. In BC's quality improvement community, he's become a legend as someone who knows everyone. Our guest today is Dr. Lawrence Yang. Welcome back to the podcast, Lawrence.
Thank you, Cher and Lee. It's an honor to be here. It's a fun podcast you have here. I've been listening to the past few episodes and they've been great. So yeah, it's an honor to be here.
Thanks, Lawrence. Now let's dive straight in, shall we? You wear many hats, without a doubt. Family physician, advocate and coach for physician wellness, board member of the Health Data Coalition, and the co-lead for Physician Quality Improvements Program alumni. But what most people know you as, and I've experienced this firsthand, is this amazing networker within BC's quality improvement community. You've set up WhatsApp groups, you're active on social media, at meetings and conferences, you're the social glue which brings all the quality improvers together. And everyone wants a selfie with you. So can I start by asking, what's driving all this connection activity? What's your worldview on this? And or is this just you being you?
Yes, thanks for mentioning the WhatsApp group. We have over 500 members. We just hit that 500 threshold in our WhatsApp group called the Synergy Hub. And in our Facebook group, we have almost 850 members. And these are just people in our system who care about improving our system. And they typically don't really have a forum where they can connect. When I went through my own clinical work-related burnout as a family doctor in Surrey, so much of it was, if I was to reflect, to do a post-mortem on my real big challenges with burnout, it was because I was isolated. I was working in a silo. And so I think part of it is that I'm trying to manifest the antidote for myself and for others. We have a patient partner who worked with the Synergy Hub group. We call the Synergy Hub Alumni Regional Champions. His name was Dwayne Jackson, and he says, grow your circle. He says, when you grow your circle, he's up in near the Prince Rupert, part of the Gitxsan Nation. He says, when you grow your circle, you have resilience and support from there. And that's really what I think I'm doing. In my coming out of my burnout, I got the chance to learn a lot about the cultivation of self-compassion through the help of therapists, through the help of publications like from Dr. Kristen Neff. And through self-compassion, I got to learn how to be kinder to myself and to realize that my burnout wasn't really my fault. My burnout was because of system factors, because the system wasn't well designed. And a lot of that was my circle was really tiny, just me and my clinic. And so now that I've involved in a self-compassion practice, I have a lot of more appreciation for self. And I can turn that energy of appreciation towards others quite easily now. And so I really take the time to see people, and that's been a natural inclination of mine. It's the same inclination that brought me into family medicine, to see people, to really listen, to hold space. And I think those are some of the tools that I bring into my networking. I wasn't naturally that way. I was a little bit introverted as a child, but learning to really appreciate myself more and be kind to myself has really allowed me to turn that kindness easily towards others. And I think that has served as a big tool in my ability to connect. And also that I do have a sense of a burning platform. Like if I do not connect people now, I'm not certain that we'll get to where we need to be in the time that we need to get there. There's an urgency in my connecting because our system, our health system is very challenged right now, and it needs more collaboration than I feel that it ever, ever did before. I remember that in my study of quality improvement, which I came across coming out of burnout, William Edward Deming, one of his quotes that was recently featured at the Quality Forum, it was that one of the greatest wastes is the waste of human talent. And I, as a trained QI coach, we try to look for the assets in the system. And when I see people, I listen deeply for their strengths, their compassion, their caring, their innovation, their passion for change. And when I see that, I try to broadcast that into that network. I believe deeply in people. I have a lot of hope for our system, even though it's very challenged. And I have faith that when the conditions are right, when things are facilitated well, people will synergize and they'll do great things together, things that I cannot predict with my limited foresight. So, yeah, I think that answers a little bit of your question.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting to hear you say that this wasn't a natural talent of yours when you were younger. And a lot of us can relate to that introversion. And I think that's what actually prevents us from maybe being more open and networking a little better. But how did you, out of interest, how did you overcome that? Or did you take any specific steps to develop these skills of networking and yeah.
Yeah, so I think that the self-compassion practice that which was really in the past maybe 7 to 8 years has really been a big part of that. I had a lot of harsh inner critic in me that allowed me to get to where I am in medicine, which requires a lot of discipline, a lot of devotion to studying and high performance in academic competition. So I got there because I figuratively beat myself or whip myself with harsh words like, if you don't do this, you're dumb, or like, you're not good enough, you better prove it. You know, those types of harsh inner dialogues, inner narratives was how I got there. But in my burnout, I realized that that type of narrative was energy draining, and I knew that if I was to do a good job in healthcare, I needed everything to lift up my energy. I had to do everything I can to maximize and preserve my energy. And so self-compassion practice, it allows me to suspend judgment towards myself like I suspend judgment towards others when I work with them. It allows me to speak to myself with kindness, like a good friend might speak to me when things don't go the way that I hope they do. And it also allows me to recognize that I'm fallible and that I'm human, just like anybody else. And you can kind of see the kind of the kindness and the compassion that comes out with that worldview and how that allows connection. And I'm thinking that some of my introversion in childhood was that harsh inner critic suppressing myself. It was an invisible lid on my social relatedness potential because I didn't believe that I was worthy to be connected with. And now that I've cultivated such self-compassion, it feels so easy to have the compassion towards others. And so the relating becomes very, very low energy, or it becomes energy giving, because I receive all positivity from everybody, and I give that positivity back. There's a synergy there, and there's an energy generation in the connections that allows it to just kind of be self-propelling in a way that's sustaining. So yeah, that's how I feel now. And I definitely was an introvert, and now I would consider myself an introvert extrovert. I remember some of my teachers told my parents, "I think your child is selectively mute." Like that's how intense it was when I was in elementary school. But when I came out of my shell, I recognized that I had a knack for listening deeply, listening to emotional content as well as the content of what's happening. And I enjoy that connecting. And that's really what brought me into family medicine as well, because we have that opportunity to connect so intimately and deeply regularly.
Well, thank you for that, and thank you for sharing that. Actually, that's an incredible journey, and you've clearly come a long way since then, which is wonderful. You mentioned this a little bit earlier about the need for synergy and this network of quality improvements, which you've been helping to build so well over the last few years. But can you just elaborate a little bit more on what your vision for this and where you think where you'd like to see that collaboration, that group of quality improvements go in the future, and maybe some of the things that you would hope they might be able to achieve?
Yeah. So Dr. Michael McKenzie, he's an oncology physician in BC Cancer, and he was my predecessor in my provincial position for Physician QI Alum Networks. And he actually wrote a strategy document. And part of his strategy document was there would be networking sessions where alum could connect. There would be some type of digital platform where alum could share their passionate ideas, share their projects, ask for support, ask for other team members, ask for provocative and lateral thinking to really generate innovation. So innovation hubs, think tanks, and general also social resilient connections. That was all part of the vision. And fun was always a part of it. So we try to bring that into both the WhatsApp group and the Facebook group. We really recognize that so many people work in silos in their clinical spaces. And a lot of it is just because the connections are not facilitated. And facilitation means to make easy. And so part of Hussein and my vision for the alumni work, for the alums work for PQI, is to make connections easier, because we know that there are people who are having sort of parallel thinking throughout the province, and there's such a big and awesome opportunity to learn from each other, to learn from each other's projects. And I want to recognize that QualityCast North is a big part of that silo bridging. It's amazing that you guys are kind of in a more rural area of our province compared to Metro Vancouver, but you guys are you are connecting people with ideas here at QualityCast North, and that's a big part of a similar vision that we have for the alums work in our when we do our networking, Hussein and I. So yeah, we want to make sure that people are not stuck in those silos, because we believe that we are better together. We inspire each other. And also, just like I felt when I was in my silo and burnt out, that sometimes being in a silo can be a little bit toxic. It can be isolating and energy draining. And with all the demands on our health system right now, we need everything we can, everything to lift the energy, as I mentioned earlier. And social connection definitely does some of that. So you asked what's the vision? It's definitely just to promote continued connections. And I know that that sounds pretty amorphous, but I trust that what needs to emerge will emerge.
You know, a couple of the things just struck me right before we jump into the questions, and it's about that really resiliency factor and that piece around wherever you are on the thing, whether it's introvert, extrovert, whatever, you know, by connecting and stuff. I always think it's like returning to ourselves, you know, not ever actually coming out of our shell, just returning to you, returning to ourselves. And if we can connect and welcome in our colleagues who may be having struggles with that, and tomorrow that might be one of us. How brilliant is that, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, that resonates a lot, Lee, that we are just uncovering the awesomeness that is us in this work. And when we combine our awesomeness with the awesomeness of others with different talents, so, you know, we have so much. That brings me so much hope for our future, because we need a lot of innovation.
We do. And on the side there too, I mean, this is just audio, so people can't see, but the smiles and the laughter and you know, you just said, hey, yeah, it's fun too. And amidst all of this, all the stuff going on, we can actually connect and we can have a really good time doing it. And I've both Dr. Chewy and I've seen that evidenced, and you are that glue when we all do come together on that provincial level. And thank you for that. And I'm just going to ping into a question here now, if that's okay. So we've heard from previous podcast guests like Dr. Daisy DeLay and that leading quality improvement can be a real source of joy in work. And why do you think this is?
Yeah, I think that, again, when we are working in our silos, we often feel alone. We feel that we see all the problems in the system and that we carry those burdens on our shoulders alone. That often it is moral distress. You know, we have a vision of what's ideally what ideally should happen for our patients, the wonderful experience that we hope for our patients. And then we see the patients fall through the cracks. When we team up in quality improvement, because quality improvement is a team sport, that burden is shared. And we find resonance in the shared vision of the quintuple aim. You know, I think when we do quality improvement, those values of really good patient experiences, really good health professional experiences, good resource stewardship, reduced waste, and planetary health and advancing equity, those things resonate with our souls. And I think that resonance and connection to purpose is very healing. It allows us to return to ourselves, as you had said, Lee, in the course of doing good work, very purposeful work to improve our system, to take care of other humans better. I think that there's so much resonance with our beings in that work. And I think that is really the core of why quality improvement is healing in the wellness space for physicians. There was a recent survey, I think, done last year. 2,000 health professionals were involved in Canada, and the burnout rates were upwards of 78%. So there's been an increase in the past couple of years, and I don't see an end in sight. I think the human resource challenges, the human resource crisis, that the lack of hands and bodies and minds that are labeled physician or that are labeled nurse, I don't think that's going to improve anytime soon. So we need to innovate and try to find how we can extend the care that each of us health professionals bring. How can we build team-based care in a way that works? And I believe it will have to be aligned with quality improvement culture. It will have to be aligned with that quintuple aim vision. Because that's a vision that brings energy, that resonates with people's purpose for getting into healthcare in the first place.
You're right. There is an epidemic of burnout amongst the physicians. There's a terrible shortage of physicians, which is compounding the issue. And there does seem to be a lack of joy and a lack of hope in the system at this time. So it's so important to address these issues. I'm just interested to know, you know, have you noticed a generational shift in physician attitudes when it comes to wellness and setting boundaries? You hear a little about this in the media. Can you comment on the potential friction that causes when it comes to health human resources?
I think there's a more reasonable self-assessment that I see a zeitgeist and a more reasonable self-awareness of limitations that a health professional is willing to commit to work. And there's a more of a distinction between vocation and career. Whereas I think, because my father is a physician, I'll use him as an example. He's now 82, he's retired for about 6-7 years, but his whole identity was wrapped up in his ability to help others. His self-worth was wrapped up in his ability to help others. His identity was, I am physician. Whereas some of the younger residents that are coming through my clinic now, they're like, I am a whole person. And what I do for work is I help people in the clinical space, and that's my work. But I'm a whole person with a life outside of work. So there's a much clearer distinction. There's somewhat of a boundary between clinical work commitments and home and life commitments and self-care commitments. These are much more distinct in some of the more recent graduates who I've come across. And you asked, how does that, does it cause conflict? At the tables that I sit at within family medicine, it does. Because some of what I might call the older guard or the senior physicians, they see the younger physicians being more boundaried. And sometimes they judge them as being less committed physicians. And I think it might be true, but it's not. It's, I wouldn't judge that as a negative. I think that's a healthy, sustainable thing. The older physicians expect the younger physicians to follow suit with that boundarylessness in their work. But it often is not sustainable. We've actually seen many of our older physicians work, and then succumb to health challenges without potentially having lived out all of their bucket list items. And so as scientists, as we observe how people's careers go, there's a natural shift right now to a more sustainable work-life balance. And there is some conflict, but I think it's a natural conflict that comes with any evolution in a workspace. And I believe it's going in a direction that potentially bodes better for the sustainability of health professionals. I think more people will come into our jobs if they recognize that it's a job that's more human, more kind, and more compassionate towards balance in life. Sometimes I feel that criticism of the younger physician, it comes from an almost surprised awareness that, wow, these younger docs, they're actually taking time to care for themselves. Maybe I should have cared for myself. Like, this is my analysis of what's going on, that there might be an inner dialogue of, I missed an opportunity to care for myself. And it's rising up as almost a resentment towards the system for pulling that martyrdom out of them. And it's almost like a grieving that needs to happen, that some of our colleagues have really martyred a lot of forgiven up a lot of their lives for the work of caring. And they need to grieve that. And some of that comes out as a criticism towards the younger physicians. But in actuality, they care about these younger physicians. They nurture them, they mentor them. But there's an interesting grieving that needs to happen for the martyrdom that was. So, yeah.
It makes me think, actually, you know, reflect back. You talk about self-compassion and stuff, and it's just like that heart of compassion. Maybe this time and space, at this time in this space, with this shifting culture, you know, a heart of compassion for all involved.
We absolutely need that. That brings energy. That brings good healing energy to the community, and we absolutely need that when 78% of people are feeling hurt by our system. You know.
Yeah, and I hear you, and you're right. That older generation, that I grew up with that as well in my work. That attitude of, well, you know, I had to do this, I had to put these hours in, I had to do all this work, and you know, why shouldn't the new generation? And just because you believe that doesn't actually make it right, unfortunately. And it's good that the younger generation are now able to draw those boundaries a little bit more firmly and a little bit, stand up for themselves, which I think is a good thing. Well, thank you for that. And let's circle back to your community building work, and particularly this idea of super connection, which you've been so strong and so wonderfully building this whole community around you. Everyone I know knows you. It's incredible. But you know, I'd like to ask you, you're a busy person, you've got a lot of hats, you're doing all these things. You know, what's your personal underlying motivation for this? You know, what gets you up each morning to continue all this and all your other things, all this great work?
Yeah, thanks for calling back to the concept of superconnector. I think Helen Bevan out of NHS Horizons is one of those who have really brought that concept of super connector out. And it speaks to how in every network, there's a few folks who are really influential or who seem to know a lot of the movers and shakers in the community. And I had already been on the path of connecting people and try to build networks when I heard about this concept. And it resonated with me. I said, oh, maybe that's kind of what I've been doing. And it's because I really trust in the emergence of excellent things when we facilitate connections. And so what is it about person? What does it mean to me? I think I want to just usher the system into the future, to accelerate the change that needs to happen. And all of that change is towards the quintuple aim. I still feel that there's not enough respect given to patient voices. I feel that there's still too much waste in our system. I feel that health professional experiences are still not held to where they need to be, and patient experiences are absolutely much lower than they could be. But I really believe that when we network and we connect people who share the values of the quintuple aim, that we accelerate ourselves towards the future. And so I want part of my legacy to have been someone who contributed to that future that is more sustainable and it is more kind to humans. Yeah.
Wow, thank you. That's an excellent comment and a wonderful vision. Thank you, Lawrence. Well, we'd like to keep the conversation going, but unfortunately we are limited with time. So here comes the closing music, which means we have to wrap things up. But a big thanks to you, Lawrence, again, for rejoining us on the show. It's been great having you on and hearing why you do what you do, which is so wonderful to see at the meetings and conferences. And if any of our listeners are at a future QI conference or meeting, do look out for Lawrence and be sure to introduce yourself and join his network and expand yours at the same time.
Come and take a selfie.
Come and take a selfie with Lawrence. Excellent. Excellent. Thank you. We'll be sure to have you on again and catch up with how that work is going and whether we're getting closer to that vision of yours. That's so precious. But until next time, we'll say goodbye. I'm Cher Chewy.
And I'm Lee Cameron.
And you've been listening to QualityCast North.
If you enjoyed today's episode, check out our other episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find your podcasts, and subscribe to our channel. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question for us about healthcare quality improvement, email us at qualitycomms@northernhealth.ca, and your question could feature on a future episode. QualityCast North is sponsored by the Physician Quality Improvement Initiative, or PQI. PQI is a flagship program of the Specialist Services Committee, a collaboration between the Provincial Ministry of Health and the Doctors of BC, with representation for the provincial health authorities. This episode was co-produced by Dr. Cher Chewy and Lee Cameron, with technical support from Levi Giles and Matt Walker of Expression North. Original music by Daniel Chewy. Further information about today's guest is available in our show notes on our website at nhpqi.ca.